I love you.
Welcome back to the couch, all y'all potatoes. We got Big Couch as usual.
It stretches big, far and huge, wide. Pull out huge. Sofa. You know, so we if you stay too late,
on this couch.
Drink a little bit too much, you could stay over. Greeny won't probe you too much. But, it's cultural. It's cultural.
Contractual.
Contractual and cultural. I am the Faceless Leone, and this is a podcast about movies and TV. You can use me as a blanket, technically. But you will be sweaty. Right.
I was gonna say it's hot, but not in it doesn't breathe. Hot. It's just hot.
Yeah, it doesn't breathe.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
No offense.
But there are limited options for blankets at our place. So.
The smell, once you start sweating beneath you, it gets weird and funky in there. It's like a hot house.
Yeah. And then I carry it for like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Sorry.
We're back.
You stink.
No, sorry, man. You stink.
You smell.
True.
You don't smell.
Maybe a little bit today. It might be shower day.
Yeah, maybe. Can I be honest here? We're back with the Disney movie that I don't think I've actually ever seen before.
Really? Wow.
As I was watching this, it did not stir any memories from childhood.
Well, there you go. There you go. We found one. I watched this one quite a bit because I was a very big mythology nerd, and still am. And we're talking about Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Atlantis. I was mouthing the exact same thing as you were saying.
Okay.
Sorry. It was very confusing.
Yeah, it was because
I really did enjoy the surprises though, because it was just like immediately, like right off the bat, I was like, oh, that guy, I know that voice. That's Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
It took me a little while, but I was like, oh my god, that's pretty cool. He plays the lead character, Milo. Mm-hmm. But then also at the beginning, there one of the guys who's running away from him, one of his like bosses or whatever you'd call them, he's like a politician or something. But that's David Ogden Steers, who's been in plenty of Disney films prior to this, as well as MASH, as I've mentioned many times. But yeah, I heard his voice, and I was just like, oh, yeah, that's David Ogden Steers. So it's just, I don't know. Even though I never watched this one, it's really kind of funny how many voices I recognized. It was just like a moment of childhood that was just like a missing puzzle piece or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of them to recognize. Another one who I believe was returning, if I can find.
Jim Varney?
No, it is... The woman that worked directly, Lieutenant Helga Katrina Sinclair, Claudia Christian, Claudia Christian, I thought she had done other things. She sounded a lot like Megara to me, and I was really expecting to be right about that, but she is in the Netflix series Blood of Zeus, so check her out.
I love that. No, that was great. Oh, man. I was expecting to be right about that. Guess I wasn't. No. But there is Jim Varney. Yeah, it was. It was the Ernest character. He was, what were those movies called? Just like Ernest Goes to Camp. Ernest Saves Christmas, like all those silly films.
Oh, yes, yeah. I watched a lot of those.
I did, too. I actually knew him better as Ernest than as the slinky dog from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. He plays Cookie, right?
Yeah, the cook. His...
Yeah, Jim Varney, yeah. I watched that show a lot. But he also was in the remake, the movie remake, or... whatever of the Beverly Hillbillies. He played the dad.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Jebediah. Jed. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Anyways, my stepdad really liked the Ernest movies and got us into those.
Oh my god. Somebody, if you go down to patreon.com/greenandfaceless, you could certainly start recommending some Ernest videos. That would be hilarious.
Yes, honestly, we should do an Ernest playlist. That would be hilarious. If they're readily available. Yeah, it would
be very interesting.
If they're readily available.
We're taking so long to get through the Disney playlist. Like, it's going to be a long time until we get to an Ernest playlist. Let's be honest. Oh,
yeah, for real.
Like, if you're very interested in hearing us talk about what is probably a problematic movie series,
yes.
You know, I know I watched a lot of them, but I'm fairly certain they're probably got some PC issues. Oh, I remember some things.
Yes, I remember some things. And that would be fun to talk about. So if you want us to talk about your favorite Ernest P. Worrell?
Mm-hmm.
Ernest P. Worrell? Like a W?
I have no idea. Was that his name?
Yeah, it's Ernest P. something. I'm just looking. P. Worrell. Yeah!
Burn.
I got it right. W-O-R-R-E-L-L. Oh my god, dude. There's one called Ernest Goes to Africa.
Oh.
Oh my god, there's so fucking many of them.
I know, that was the sad thing. Oh, Vern.
Please go on down to patreon.com/greenandfaceless so I can live my dream.
Yeah, make sure to recommend your favorite Ernest films. We like a good Jim Varney, and he does a great cook here. The cook. And you get this kind of, like, Mulan feeling with this crew, in a way, and I'll explain that. It's also, like, national treasure. It's kind of a bit like National Treasure, where they're hunting for something, and his crew betrays him. So you have Milo.
Oh, well, spoilers.
Who's a linguist. Yeah, sorry. I mean, come on. Yeah, Milo, who's a linguist, played by Michael J. Fox, he gets approached. I mean, I feel like you should be the one summarizing, actually, because you like this movie.
Okay, then I will. I do like this movie. So
I feel like I'm stealing your summary from you.
Well, I was just going to let you do it, because that's how, you know, flow. But anyhow.
I know.
Yeah, Milo, he works for the Smithsonian. But you find out that he's just, like, keeps the boiler. But he wants so badly to go on an expedition to find Atlantis, because it was his grandfather's dream as well, and it was passed down to him. Eventually, after he gets fired, he gets approached by, Whitmore. What was the voice actor's name for Whitmore? Preston B. Whitmore, played by John Mahoney. The guy who sits in the chair for Frasier. That's Frasier's dad.
That's right. It is. Wow. I didn't even know that.
Anyhow, he gets approached by him, and he's this billionaire, and he also is a big old buddy of Milo's grandpa. And so he funds the expedition because there was a bet or something. And his team of people is always led by James Garner's character, rather, Commander Lyle Tiberius Rourke. Commander Rourke, I guess is what we'll call Rourke. Him. And he, right under him is Helga, who I mentioned before. And then we have a great cast of crew members. We have Vincenzo or Vinny Santorini, and he's a demolitions expert, but he really just wants a flower shop. And
he's played by Don Novello, who's the priest guy from SNL. And also in Casper, we recently talked about him in Casper.
You say recently, but I feel like that was a year ago. It was Halloween.
Time really flies, man. I'm about to be 31 in human years. I'm officially in my 30s.
I know. Welcome to the club. Phil Morris.
Gross.
I can't believe you're that much younger than me, though, because I'm going to be 32, but whatever. Phil Morris plays Dr. Joshua Strongbear Sweet, who is the medic for the group. Then we have Audrey Rocio Ramirez, who's a mechanic, and she's played by Jacqueline Daniel Obradors. Yeah, I like that.
Obradors.
I just need to look
at 6 days and 7 nights. My parents watched that a lot.
The only other one I feel like we didn't mention is Mrs. Packard, and she's the radio operator, and she's played by Florence Stanley, and she's the character's just like a bazillion years old, and she's always smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, and when I mentioned Mulan earlier, by that I meant, like, it's very similar vibe, where, like, you know, Mulan gets in with that group of guys that she's, like, in her little troop with, and it's the same thing with Milo. He falls in with this group, and even though you find out that Commander Rourke has some villainous tendencies and is really only interested in getting to Atlantis to steal a valued treasure and sell it on the market.
Yeah.
This group of people that Milo befriends that are part of Rourke's crew, they're kind of like his little Mulan group. They all have their little quirky personalities.
Yeah, I forgot about Mole, actually.
Yeah, they stand out. Oh, yeah, we did forget about Mole.
Gaetan Moliere goes by Mole, played by Corey Burton. And he's a geologist.
Ooh, Shockwave in the Transformers.
Okay.
He's also apparently the current voice of Captain Hook. Huh.
For like the Disney cartoons. Oh, wow. We used to think Mole was so fucking funny.
Right.
Yeah, and he's also just noticed that Leonard Nimoy plays the king of Atlantis.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But we'll get to that in just a minute.
I love me some Spock.
So, the first half of the movie is just this, like,
great.
Pretty long... Huh?
I said great. The first half's great.
Oh, yeah. I like it, but it does take quite some time to actually get to Atlantis. And, you know, it's supposed to feel like a long and hard journey. There are some... I wasn't supposed to be a penis joke, but fine.
It's Disney, you know me.
Yeah. And they find their way there, but there is a montage or two, but it's fine because it would have been boring otherwise, probably. But, like, they fight this Leviathan? Leviathan? That's right.
Yeah. Metal Leviathan.
Yeah, and it's very clearly looks like it is of some sort of technology, but it is not of any modern human design. And it's, you know, it's moving faster than this modern submarine, and it looks like a lobster mixed with a scorpion, which I guess is just a lobster. And
fascinating.
Yes. And, you know, it breaks apart the submarine, and they actually lose, like, most of the people. Yeah, there was, like, 2,000 people with them or something like that, and they all die. Then they get to Atlantis. Just wanted to, like, point out that was such a big part of the movie. And when we reviewed this, the Wikipedia article finished that in the second paragraph, and then there was like six more paragraphs, which, you know, there isn't, if you're just summarizing, there isn't that much that happens in that first half of that movie, but it's some great stuff. Like, you know, you get to meet these funny characters, and you get to see them warming up to Milo. Like, they fucking hate him at first. Absolutely.
They really pick on him. They really haze him a lot.
Yes, a lot. And then you know, he shows his usefulness occasionally, and also makes some really big rookie mistakes, like making them march the wrong direction for like 2 days or something like that.
Oops.
I really
enjoy the first half though, because it's like, yeah, he does. But it's just like, it really sets up all these characters, and there's a lot of characters.
Oh yeah.
And it does it in a way that's not boring. Like, you know, it's really interesting to watch these characters. And also, I will be honest, a lot of that is because I love Michael J. Fox. I think he just has such a good voice. He's
great, yeah.
Like, he's a great actor, but his voice alone is just magnificent. And he does a great, like, Milo is perfect with,
you
with
know,
Michael J. Fox's
you
voice.
Know what? This movie, the Back to the Future trilogy, and Teen Wolf were in constant rotation.
Oh. Hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so I guess I am a Michael J. Fox fan as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's perfect. He really is the perfect character. And James Garner is also perfect for Rourke, because he's got that great voice that really does come across as like a skeevy villain.
But authoritarian as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like you'll listen to him because he's intimidating.
Yeah, he's a good casual commander, too.
Right. So, we make it to Atlantis, and we meet, not for the first time, actually, in the movie. We meet Kida, who appears to be a young woman, but we find out that she's actually been there since before the city sunk. So, she witnessed that. And you also find out, Kida, by the way, is played by Cree Summer, and her full name is Kidagakash Nidach. I think I did that pretty well, actually.
I think you did, yeah.
She is the princess of Atlantis, and her father was king, it currently is king, and was king at the time when Atlantis sank, this being played by Leonard Nimoy. And this, the character's name is Kashkim Nadach. And you know, I'm a GM, so I really do appreciate weird, funny, stupid names. And I'm sure that that somebody did some research and like this is like, it's like Sumerian or something like that.
Egypt era.
Yeah, something. Anyhow, yeah, they make it there, and you find out that they're kind of just lost a whole bunch of information, and they for some reason need Milo to help them figure it out. So this definitely has some white savior moments to it. But I got a little bit sidetracked. The reason why Atlantis sank was because King Leonard, he decided he wanted to weaponize this incredible power, which is the source of all the technology and longevity of the Atlanteans. And so Rourke finds out about this crystal, also called the Heart, and
Of Atlantis,
and he wants to take it and sell it, you know, as a artifact or energy source. But if he takes it away, he'll kill everyone. Anyhow, to make this happen, somehow Kida becomes the crystal. And, from there, it's a rescue mission, from Milo.
I'm going to be honest, this movie, when they get to Atlantis, really loses me.
Really?
Really loses me.
Really?
Yeah, it becomes a bunch of sci-fi fantasy gobbledygook that only partially makes sense as it's going along. And I don't know, it kind of like, it starts to lose the atmosphere of this relationship that Milo's been building with all of these characters, because that's when they start to betray him and everything.
Interfere with that, because he separates himself from the group. So I can agree with that. Yeah.
And it, I don't know, it just, it becomes really convoluted towards the end.
Yeah.
And, like, there's multiple love interests for Milo where there doesn't need to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously he's very focused on Kida. But at the same time, there's always, like, that will they, won't they with Audrey.
Right.
And then also he has, like, this little slight weird interest with,
Helga.
What's her name, Helga?
Any of the female characters...
For Michael J. Fox, it makes sense. You see him do that in Back to the Future. He's suave, he's cool, you know, he can sidle up to the ladies all he wants because he's got that charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Milo doesn't have that charisma, so it's weird when he has these weird flirtatious moments with Audrey and Helga, and then he meets Kida. Like, that makes sense. Why are we doing the weird flirtatious bits with the other two?
I think with Audrey it could make more sense, but it's just really just male gaze stuff for real. But you know, Audrey, again, at the very least, they don't
works for Michael J. Fox and his charisma, but not for Milo.
Yeah, no, he like is like nerding over Helga because she's this hot, tall blonde, and then Audrey is just really nice and cute, and they have things in common, and then Kida comes around, and that doesn't matter anymore. But yeah, I think it's just trying to. It's just sexualization that didn't need to be there, at least for Helga. But there is something that appeals to me in the femme fatale character, you know?
I thought you were just going to say about Helga.
No, that's who I'm...
About Helga.
Well, I mean, I was talking about... No! I was going to say, I said the femme fatale, but yeah, I was particularly referring to Helga.
It's like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right.
Like, almost spot on, like, the hot blonde that Harrison's, like, kind of attached to that he tries to save at the end, who was working with.
Oh, it's scene for scene in a couple of moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it? Oh my god. To clarify, I guess, my meaning from earlier, though, it's like, the third act isn't bad. I'm not gonna say that. It loses me.
Sure.
And it also kind of loses me, mainly because Disney has... Hold on. Somebody's outside. Zelda's gonna be pretty upset for a second here. Okay. It also kind of loses me, though, because Disney has another product that's out right now called Doctor Who. it's an old product. You might have heard about it. I don't know, from where, maybe on this show. But yeah, I've been very embroiled in fan theories, and you know, I love the new series, but a lot of fans hate it, and I don't honestly care. Like, I'm sorry you guys aren't liking it, but for this fan person, it's fucking phenomenal right now.
Yeah. Guys, potatoes, Greeny really truly is the biggest Doctor Who fan I know. And you know, like, you've watched basically all of what is available of the original series as well.
Yeah.
And
twice.
You got Tom Baker's scarf. And
you got me Tom Baker's
scarf. I did, but you needed it. And
no, I didn't either.
And
I fucking love this show.
Yeah, you liked the Moffat years, and you are liking the new stuff.
I stomached the Chimble years. I did not hate the Chimble years. I laughed throughout a lot of it.
Yes.
And while it was like a confused, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Chimble? I had no
idea.
It was also going on at the same time.
It was still like I'm having fun.
All right, let's send the TARDIS away.
But yes, all I was saying about that, though, is by the time the second half of this movie lost me, like when I started to go ADHD and get lost in Doctor Who fan theories and everything, that was also, you know, it's just like, it wasn't bad, but when I was paying attention, what I was picking up on, I was just kind of like, yeah, this is kind of just reminiscent of a lot of other stuff. Like, it even though it's still good, it didn't feel really original. Like, I mean, you're going to fucking Atlantis. I know there's a lot of places and shows and movies and books that have gone to Atlantis. But, like, there's something beautiful in a take on Atlantis. And I felt like this take was just kind of par. You know, it was kind of tit for tat what we've seen before.
Well,
I mean, I like the idea of it being, you say, like, still before. In air.
You say before, but I don't, I mean, you know, I know that there were depictions of Atlantis before 2001, but I'm trying to think of one, and I'm not really coming up with one. So, you know, I'm just pointing out, this is an older movie at this point. Like,
I mean, that's fair.
Maybe I'm the sure cliche if I Google came it, I could from find this.
I mean, I don't want to do this, but if I want, I could Google Atlantis and see what kind of entertainment we've had. Because I'm quite certain there was a lot.
I feel like there Let's was see. More after this and Stargate Atlantis than there was before.
I guess I could be just thinking of Stargate, but films. Undersea Kingdom, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Atlantis, the Lost Continent, Hercules and the Conquest of Atlantis. They're all just goofy, like, old stuff. MacGyver, The Lost Treasures of Atlantis, Alien from L.A. Hell yes. What is Alien from L.A.? In which Wanda Sacknewsom finds herself in an underground world that was once Atlantis. Gamera. Ooh. Yeah, it is. It is pretty. Like, a lot of these were like old 60s and 70s, but in film, there's a shit ton of stuff in film. Or oh, sorry, sure. Not in film.
In TV. Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure.
Doctor Who, even.
Oh yeah, Doctor definitely. Who went to
Atlantis like 8 times.
Well, he had to talk to his friends.
That's not true. It was more like 3 or 4.
Okay. Well, anyways.
Still. What I'll admit, basically, though, is that as a representation of, including literature even, it's just kind of boring. It's a brand new world that you can explore, and it's just kind of just like, oh. Yeah, it's kind of like what DC Comics has been doing since the 40s. You know, it's just
World Kingdom. Okay, blah, blah, blah. See, now you got me there, because both DC and Marvel have been doing it forever. I know it's like Atlantica and Marvel or some bullshit like that. But maybe it is Atlantis, because, you know, Atlantis is a myth, so they can use it if they want to.
Yeah, DC doesn't corner the comic book market on Atlantis.
Yeah. And I am glad, though, that the Little Mermaid called it Atlantica, because then this movie would not have made sense at all.
That's very fair. Yeah.
Well, it's all one big world. I, as a little human, made out of polymer, enjoyed the architecture, bright colored clothing, and interesting people and sculptures and all that kind of stuff, the technology that they showed. I found all of that incredibly interesting. From a very young age, the idea that we have lost a good chunk of information that we knew about our ancient selves has always fascinated me. And
Tower of Babel, or the, what is it?
The Library of Alexander. Like, we know that existed. And we know that there was information from all over the world in there. But we do have to give a caveat. It was information from all over the world that the Greeks found interesting. So it is a pretty Hellenistic-centric, probably, collection. But anyhow, all that kind of stuff interests me, and I'm a big history nerd, and I do think that this movie helped me along that journey to really, really become a history nerd.
I feel like if I'd watched this as a kid, I would have fucking loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it would have been great as a kid, and I would like it more now. I mean, I don't hate it now. I got bored with it by once they got to Atlantis, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah. Put your palm on the stylus, turn the key, and keep your hand on the machine. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but I would love to fly a fish. I will tell you that.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so closing statements. I think it's pretty obvious that I really liked it. You know, there's as a movie critic, I can look at it and see that there are things, obviously, but you're going to find that in every movie. Nostalgia wins out for me, though, and I am going to give it a face and a half.
Hell yeah. Noise. Yeah, I still liked it. I mean, I'm giving it 3 stars. Like, it's still fun. Again, if I had seen this as a kid, I would have fucking loved it.
Right.
I love Michael J. Fox, and, you know, this would have been right up my alley, because I don't know why I never watched this. And it's possible I didn't watch it, and I just forget. But, like, no memories. No memories unlocked while watching this movie. I was just like, oh, yeah, what the hell? How did I not watch this as a kid? I feel like we owned it.
Oh, like, I definitely
remember it on the shelf.
Huh.
Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Maybe it was Stargate Atlantis. They use the same font, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's very possible. We did have all of that, too. My brother loved that show. I mean, I really liked it, but I wasn't as in love with it as my brother was. But no, 3 stars. It's still fun.
Yeah.
Good acting. Good story.
Yeah.
It's just very, you know, kind of textbook, run-of-the-mill, with a lot of other movies.
Sure.
Specifically,
can give it that.
Specifically, the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Like, there's just so many moments where like James Garner was like perfectly just like the villain in that. You know, just like, my goodness, man.
Very true.
He would have been a perfect. This version of James Garner is like a perfect Indiana Jones villain.
And keep him in the American forces too. Like, that'd be really interesting. So I think we did a show though.
We did. Probably one of our most. I mean, it'll be chopped down a lot, but it's still probably one of our most our longest Disney episodes.
One of the longer ones. But they've been pretty. About.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some life now with Emperor's New Groove and now this.
Right. Like, yeah, there's
been some dull moments this era.
Oh, yeah. But we've only done 4 movies, so we are 50-50 at this point.
That's fair.
What it feels like is that they had a little tiny bit of a blip, and then they came back in. But we will see how that goes. Next time we'll have Lilo and Stitch for you.
Hell yes. That's I'm very excited for that one because I love the show.
Mm.
I've watched the movie a couple of times, but it was one of those things where it's like I watched the movie like twice when it was in theaters or whatever. And then once the show came out, that was my world.
Oh, I loved Lilo and Stitch show, but I loved any show that was like that. That had a formula that you knew you were going to meet a new character or creature or something like that each episode.
I know,
like Digimon,
early
episodes.
It's like
of
Doctor
Digimon.
Who.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then you'll see a familiar, but sometimes you get some weird ass shit. And you're just like, what nightmare did this come from, you weirdos?
Yeah. Experiment 111. Why? I don't know what that one looks like, actually. I'm going to look it up now.
But no, I'm very excited to return to the Lilo and Stitch movie because I don't think I've watched it since the show came out because I just watched the show on repeat. I don't think I returned to the movie once the show was out, so that's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. And I hope you're here for it, everybody, all you couch potatoes out there. Because we love you. You're fabulous. What was it? What was so,
Experiment 111 from Lilo and Stitch. Their name is Mulch. Yeah.
Are they like Mole? Mole Moliere?
No, I don't know what they're able to do, but they kind of look like they're a lawnmower. Like a manual. Fuck yes. Like, you know, you push, push turn blade ones. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Now I kind of want to watch that silly show.
I know, right? Too bad they didn't have an episode for every single fucking monster, and they gave up after, like, you know, I don't know, 50 or 60 episodes, whatever.
Whatever. We'll get there.
Next week, it's everybody. A kid's not show next week, actually. Something. It'll be a while from now. But really? We'll get back to the Disney playlist. I thought it was next.
But anyways.
It might be next week.
We'll come at you real soon with an episode. Go on down to patreon.com/greenandfaceless. Yeah, subscribe, comment, whatever. Get the fuck out of here. Excuse me.
Love you.
Love you.
I'm the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
And I am the Faceless Leon. Safe travels and good night.
Doctor Who also on Disney Plus. Go check it out.
I use my hands a lot this episode.
Green and Faceless on the Couch is a proud production of Fiction Works 19. Are you a fan of the show? Feel free to contact us at greenandfacelessfans@gmail.com or visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/greenandfaceless. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe, or rate us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.